Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my show, Wednesdays with Willa. And it airs Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., and it's a spiritual conversation. I usually have a different guest and a different topic every week on my show, and it's an opportunity for us to talk about topics relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And so I really enjoy having you all tune in. And certainly leave your positive comments, and I will give you an opportunity to call in today if you want to take part in our conversation. So, as our topic today, we have mental preparation, and I am so delighted to have as my guest today, Don Reinhout.
Good morning, Willa. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. Don is like such... He's like the nicest man you could ever meet.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And it's genuine. And we're really blessed to have him as a resident in Lilydale. And for those of you who don't know who Don is, get ready. Because he's an incredible man. He's already led such an amazing life. And we're going to talk a bit about that. Because Don... has been the world's strongest man. And you've done a lot to prepare for those events.
I have.
We'll get to your process about that.
Thank you.
But I want to tell people how incredible you are, because it was in, 1973, and you held the title until 1980.
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
For the world's strongest man.
Yes.
And that's like... You know, to compete on that level, and you're a big guy, but to compete on that level with a bazillion other people, and Don has been on the show before, and he talked about how you've done this without drugs, without any of those things that a lot of other people were using.
Yeah, I was always drugs, which I'm very proud of. I just worked so hard, intensely hard for so many years, and
yes
I was drug-free, definitely at that time was a pioneer, as not only myself, but of my era. We all were the lifters.
Yes.
So we just kind of went out and worked hard and did our thing.
Yeah. I mean, he earned every bit of it, every drop of sweat, blood, sweat, and tears went into this experience that you had. Now, you won 4 world championships, and you... Let's see, holding every world record in the bench press of 626.
626 was my best,
And squat of 935 pounds. And a deadlift of 885.5 pounds. And a total of 2,420 pounds.
That's right, yes. I held the, and part of the, you have three of the bench press, the squat, and the deadlift, plus then that equals your total.
Yes.
And I was blessed at that time where I held every world record in that category.
Yes. It's just very impressive. And so then you set a total of 51 world records. Let me repeat this. 51 world records were set by this man sitting next to me today.
Yes.
That's just amazing to me. That you were able to do that. Now, when you were in this process of trying to, you know, train your body and prepare yourself mentally and spiritually for all of this, what did you do?
As a career or besides?
How did you prepare yourself for these events?
Well, you know. First of all, it might be. I started lifting weights when I played college football.
Okay.
And that's how I got into weightlifting. And back, and that would have been back in the early 60s, in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And back at that time, well, nobody knew much at all about weightlifting.
Yeah.
Even when I went to college to play football, and we had strength coaches, of course, to help us to get stronger for football.
Yeah.
They really didn't know much what was going on either. So we kind of like read magazines, and it was trial and error. Those of us who really took an interest in the way of the thing. And that's pretty much what I did, you know.
And people would probably get hurt in a trial and error zone. That would be...
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of coaches didn't want the guys to work out, because the possibility of injuries.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, when you compete like in football, if you don't work out, you're going to get injuries, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like a fine line there.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of really how I got started.
You got started with it.
And it was just like, as soon as I started working out, my body was changing. I got stronger and bigger.
Yes.
Which also helped me with my performance in football.
Yes.
And you just like the way your body feels, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just got like, it was like fire.
You were pumped.
I was pumped, yes. And when I got out of college, I just kept it up. And one thing led to another. I didn't start off with training to become the world's strongest man.
No.
I just
kind of fall into it,
yeah,
right?
You really do. I had no idea what was going to take me. I just wanted to be better for football.
Well, I remember you telling me last time when Don was on the show, you were telling me that you had set up a whole gym for yourself in the basement.
Yes, yes.
And I think it was at your parents' house.
My mom and dad's house.
And that you set that up and you had to be dedicated.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much every day.
Yeah, you really do. And I was so blessed where I used to work for my mother and father. My dad was an accountant for 36 years. And so I went to school in the finance field.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out of college, I worked in my dad's business. And so that's how I got my gym set up in the basement.
Yeah.
My father was so kind to move all his stuff out of the way so his son could have his weights.
Yeah.
But that's, I came from, back at that time, again, there was no gyms around here. There was,
you had to make your own.
You made your own. So there was really nothing.
Yeah.
So I just had a solid with my weights. Then some of my buddies who worked out that had the same interest, we trained together.
And they probably weren't fancy-dancy weights.
Oh no.
They were just run-of-the-mill, plain Jane, I'm sure.
Oh, the basement was just an old, I was blessed to have it.
Yeah.
It was not a fancy basement either by any means, you know.
But you were just trying to get those little weight things on the
bars. And nobody could understand, why do you want to work out? You're getting bigger, you're not growing clothes. Of course, the food goes
like the Hulk.
I did that plenty of time with my shirts and things. But, I had an advantage of Willa that I have to mention, because my wife, who is a psychologist, has her doctorate in psychology, and she was the world's strongest woman.
Yeah, they were like the power couple.
Yes. So she was my coach,
and
I was hers. And, of course, her field in psychology was huge. With my mental preparation.
Yes.
It was just incredible. So anyway, it was a great husband and wife thing.
Yeah.
And it's just something we did. And she became the strongest woman, and I became the strongest man. And it was kind of cool, the strongest husband and wife in the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's very rare. Has that ever happened since?
I really don't think, because there's lots of strong people.
Sure, but they're not usually married to another strong person.
That's right. And that's why it was kind of unique at that time, because being husband and wife, we both together, we had that...
The titles were overlapped in the timing, or were they... Were they one after the other?
Yeah, we both competed at the same time.
So that title of the World's Strongest Woman and World's Strongest Man overlapped.
Yes, that's right. It did.
Yeah. Wow.
And of course, with Cindy, so my wife was extremely, and of course, to have her doctorate, extremely very, very intelligent, and was great in the field of psychology, which really helped me an awful lot, you know.
Yes.
So I can't say I did this all by myself, because I didn't. It was... first of all, God gave me the gift, and then he blessed me with Cindy, and who helped me immensely, and we just had a neat thing going on.
Yeah, that's a great partnership to help you.
It really was, and I've been out of competition as of Cindy for, 40 years now, and we still are remembered throughout the world for what the contributions that we did.
Yes.
It was really kind of cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, and the friends we made, and of course, unfortunately, when you get out of the competition, you lose track of a lot of your dear friends.
But
once in a while, you hear. But it was a great time in my life.
Yeah.
And little did I realize that it would it will lead to the career that I came up with, becoming a youth worker.
Right. You know? Don has worked extensively with the youth.
Yes.
Inspiring them on their own paths and
exactly. Well,
getting them excited about their life and the potential that maybe isn't necessarily physically strength-oriented, but in mental strength.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's, I got hired by the local government, county government, and I served at the pleasure of the county executive for 25 years in Mayville. And what they wanted me to do was get into the schools and talk to the kids. Not so much about weightlifting, but that was just a tool, you know?
It's an entree into it.
To try to motivate young people that we all have dreams, you know, and the dangers of drugs and alcohol. And of course, I touch a lot on that, you know.
Yeah.
The importance of education, positive thinking.
And I love it that drugs were not necessary in your journey, and they weren't they're not necessary for those children to succeed in their lives.
Well, you know, today, and this is a concern, not only for Chautauqua County, but all over the United States, the dangers of drugs.
Yes.
Because we have, and you know, I found this out all the years I worked for young people, because I got involved with a lot of different agencies and things, but we have our troubles with drugs, too, in Chautauqua County.
Yes.
It isn't unusual to find out somebody died of a drug overdose.
Unfortunately.
It just breaks your heart.
It does.
And it doesn't have to be poor people. It affects
all ranges.
All ranges.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter what the nationality you are. It doesn't matter whether you're white, black, Hispanic. It affects us all, you know.
Yep.
So I really worked hard in that issue too with young uns, because they need people to look up to that. They don't have to worry about Don being arrested for a DWI or selling drugs or whatever. Because that's not the kind of guy I am. So I've always tried to use myself in a real positive way.
And you have.
Well, thank you.
You have.
Thank you. And
you use your powers for good.
And you know what's funny, Willow? When I got into this thing years ago, I wanted to set good examples. Because, you know, strength is a strange field. People look at strong guys as like we're machos and this and that.
Well, you are macho.
Well, you know, but you know, I didn't want to come across as...
You're just a nice macho.
That's what I wanted to be, is a... A Don Reinold, who was a common ordinary guy, but who was the best in the world.
And
you don't have to be egotistic, or you don't have to think you're better than anybody else, because I don't, you know. And
there's always the up and coming.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there's the competition of
pushing
for the next title.
You know, I'm a firm believer, Will, that God gives us wonderful gifts in our lives, you know.
Yeah.
And he can take them away very quickly, too. A simple injury can ruin your whole
career. The whole thing.
And so I just felt so much that I wanted to give back, you know.
And
this is a field I was very good at. So this is the one that I stress working with young people.
And inspiring them.
And
helping them to prepare in good ways for their life.
Exactly. For just good health,
you know? Absolutely. All the levels.
We want our children to grow up to be healthy, good American citizens, you know.
Amen.
So anyway, that was what I was all about, and I think that's why the local government wanted me to.
Because
I had chances years ago to travel to work for a Diversified Products, which is they sell weightlifting stuff and whatever.
Right.
But I would have had to move to Los Angeles, California.
And that wasn't a lifestyle you were looking
for. No, it was not.
For.
I spent a lot of time in California competing, you know.
Right.
But this is my home, and I wanted to come back home, you know. And as I said, I worked for my dad for a long time, but my father died of a heart attack. So I wasn't at that time prepared to take over my father's business.
Right.
So mom sold the, my mother was an accountant too, and she sold the business. And that kind of in a way pushed me out to doing what I'm doing, you know, working with young people.
Yeah.
And then the county executive at that time, his name was Dr. Glinzer. He's from Fredonia. He knew me for many, many years, was a dear friend of my dad's. And he picked up the phone one time when he became executive. He said, "How would you like to work for me?" And I said, "Well, I knew him very well." And I said, "Jack, it'd be a great honor, but what would I do for you?"
Yeah.
You know, he said, "I want you to be my youth director for the county." And so we talked. I interviewed for the job. And, of course, the legislature had to approve me. And, boy, did they really look at your background. If you're going to get involved with young people, they want to know that you don't have any criminal records or whatever, so you got to really have a clean slate. And of course, I did, and so 25 years I did that. I served, in fact, Mark Thomas, who was a,
was
a very, very dear friend of mine. When Mark became county executive, he kept me on board, and I just love Mark Thomas. He's just a dear friend.
Yeah.
I love him to death. And gave me a chance, and we just, but 25 years I did that until I retired.
So you got used to really motivating people positively through those years.
Yes, and it's funny how it led on to even adults.
But you, and for those of you who never got to see Don visit schools, he would go and do, like, special strength things, and he would blow up water bottles?
Hot water bottles. Yes.
And boosh.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
He had lung power to do it at that time. It was like...
Yeah, oh, boy. Yeah, I did a lot of different things to keep it. Because at the time when I did some of those things, I would keep talking, of course, kept talking to the children about motivational things. And I'd bend steel bars in my teeth or drive nails through
boards. Did you hear he just said steel bars in his teeth? He would bend them.
Yes, yeah. And one thing...
I have trouble bending a steel... A staple that's in the paper rod.
I do anymore too. Well, the old body is not what it used to be by any means. But yeah, you know, I did a lot of. In fact, this is kind of funny. When I set the world record on doing it was a teeth lift. I started going in because I did a lot of playgrounds too in the summertime.
And your teeth look okay, Don.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah, considering what I did. But I ended up setting the world record of 600 pounds with my teeth, which was the most I ever did. But I started doing that by picking up children on playgrounds, you know, when I got stronger and stronger. And I'm a very competitive person. One thing led to another.
You're like, you're the right size. Let me lift you.
But I had a teeth, a leather mouthpiece made.
Okay.
Which, of course, fit into your mouth. It was made by my dentist, you know.
Oh,
and
that's
so that
good.
Absorbed the,
dentist
the,
approved.
Yeah. And so when I had this idea, he looked at me like, what are you talking about, Don? And I explained to him what I wanted to do. And of course, he designed that according to my teeth so it would work perfectly.
But was that okay for your neck?
The neck is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Even though it's in your mouth.
Yeah.
Your neck and your jaw too.
Yeah.
Because it's all pulling on your jaw.
Yeah.
So when I got to 600 pounds, I started really kind of hurting myself.
Yeah.
And I thought, eventually I'm going to break my jaw. And so I didn't do it anymore after that. I thought, there's a diminishing return.
There has to be a limit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
And even that's why you have to know a lot about your body. Because even your back.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's all your back and your jaw and your mouth and your neck and. Yeah, it's all together, so.
Yeah, and sometimes people who are strong, they kind of get egged on to do something
mm-hmm.
with their strength that ends up incapacitating them for
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
So there has to be that balance of
exactly
understanding. You hear about mothers lifting cars off
their
children.
Amazing,
because
yes.
of adrenaline, but by and large, if anybody tried to lift a car, not a wise choice.
No. You have to know when to say when,
yeah.
And I was smart. I'm not the world's smartest guy by any means, believe me, but you kind of have to know when to say when.
Yes.
And when to be. Those who don't can end up with permanent injuries. And
yes.
I mean, I want to live a healthy life, not
But your ability to do that was on a superhuman level, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were a superhero to so many of these children. Like, they got to see a real superhero in
Thank
front of
you.
Them. At these events,
mm-hmm.
somebody who could do something outstanding in that way, and it would forever be in their minds of what you did, but also some of the message would filter in too.
Yeah, at the same, like I said, you're right. Well, at the
yes.
same time, you're throwing seeds out there
yes.
all the time,
yes.
and when you do these incredible things, and you're telling the kids that you love them, you know,
yeah,
and you care about them, and all these things, they, you know, they, believe it or not, they really listen.
Yeah.
Because they're intrigued with what you're doing, but at the same time, you're putting those seeds out there, which they're thinking about. I've been retired from my job for now about 10 years, and I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe when I retire, they will forget about me, you know. But it's incredible, you know. No matter where I go, I'll say, like, I'm going to a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I'll have a waitress come up and take my wife's Pam's and my order, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
She'll say, you're Don Reinhardt, aren't you, you know. And they might have been in the third or fourth grade,
and
but
they
still remember.
Yeah.
Can I have your autograph on this? They're taking your order with a hamburger or whatever.
Yeah.
And that means so much to me, to not be forgotten.
Yeah. Because
I didn't, not that I want to be, but it just, I just prayed that the message would stay with them.
Yeah.
And I think it really has.
Well, that's the other part of this. You were also building in that message, a spiritual message.
Exactly, Willa.
And real, not just talking to them, but you were talking to their souls.
Exactly.
To them as souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what really helps.
I believe so. And, you know, I know you have to be so careful, and I was. When you're in public schools, you have to be careful about how you talk about religion.
Right.
But, you know, I got to a point, though, and I'm not a preacher, believe me. I am not a preacher. I'm just a man who loves...
You're just
loves,
a good guy.
Loves his God, you
yeah.
know. But if I can't throw out a seed about saying that, you know, I love you and so does God, or God
yeah.
bless... Even a simple thing is saying, God bless you.
God bless you.
You have to be... Because I went over this one time. This might be of interest. I hope I'm not getting off target too much.
We're fine.
I got asked by this PTA over in Cattaraugus County on an evening event if I wouldn't go over and get my spill.
Yeah.
What I do here in Chautauqua County, because right. it was kind of intriguing all over Western New York.
Yeah.
Because I got into Buffalo all over the place,
yeah.
you know.
Traveling.
So anyway, I got over and I talked about the importance of God was in my life. I didn't think speaking at a PTA at night, it wasn't like we're during the school. These were all adults, you know.
Right.
So I just talked about what was the way I was raised and the importance
yeah.
of God in my life. Because God is important in my life.
Yeah.
It is in all of ours, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, I got asked by a guidance counselor at this certain school district. So the next day when I was in my office in Mayville, I got this phone call. And, I picked up. It was this woman who asked me to come. And as soon as I started talking to her, I realized where she was. She said, "You really surprised me last night, Don." And I knew right where she was going. And I said, you know, if you want to, I knew she was very concerned with my talk about God. You know,
yeah.
I wasn't like in a church, but
no, you weren't.
It was just a few things I threw out there,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I said, look, if you want to make trouble for me, I didn't even get paid for travel. It was
right.
all on a, it was in the wintertime where I had to deal with icy roads. And,
yeah.
And I said, look, if you want to make trouble for me, go for it. Because I think my boss would stick up for me.
Yeah.
But I said, if I can't thank God for what he has given to me in my life, you know, I said, then I'm sorry. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Because that's
well,
your source. That's
exactly,
your source.
You know.
That's what's given you this power.
And she said,
well, inspired you.
Yeah, well, and she said, well, it just surprised me how you, she said, I'm not going to make, I said, well, I can't leave a program or whatever without saying, thank you, God, you know.
Yeah.
Because he gave me the body, the mind, the guts, the genetics, the whole shebang to make me what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I had to work very hard at it, but God gave me that gift of working hard, too.
Absolutely. The
you
work
know,
ethic
and,
of
and,
that.
And people, he surrounded me in my life, like my ex-wife. And I mean, because no man is an island. It takes so many things to become that successful, you
yes,
know.
Yes, it does.
And if I can't thank the Lord for what I got, I'm sorry, you
yes.
know.
Well, I don't think you need to be worrying about that at all, because, you know, some people just, you know, it's their way, and it's not
yes.
about converting them. It's just you expressing
exactly.
your
exactly, yeah.
You expressing your gratitude.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to tell people who may be just joining us, this is Wednesdays with Willa, and I am Willa. And I have as my guest today the world's strongest
oh,
man,
thank you. Thank
Don
you.
Reinhold. And our topic today is mental preparation. And so we've been talking a bit about Don's really impressive record. Life record and 51 world records that you set.
Yes.
But the being the world's strongest man from 1973 to 1980 and holding that for that long and really being able to get yourself into the right physical space but also the right mental mindset.
Exactly.
So let's talk now about what you did to mentally prepare for those events. You know, obviously a lot of things went in to make you Don who he is. And when you were preparing for those events, what sequencing of things did you go through?
Well, you know what, I have to give all the credit to Cindy because
right.
my
yes.
ex-wife was a brilliant woman. She has her doctorate in psychology.
Yes.
And she does a lot of private practice with the, so it was Cindy. She taught me a lot of mental games, not games, but a lot of mental preparation.
Yeah.
that I can't really, it's so hard to explain it because it was such a, but she put things in my mind that would relate to mental preparation, because without the mental preparation, I don't care how strong you are, you're not going to do these things, you know.
That's true.
It's
so
all mind power.
Was some of the affirmations and some of it visualization?
Yes, yes.
What would you say
she would throw, when I would compete like at the World's Strongest Man, we drew thousands of people.
Yeah.
Because it was held at Universal Studios in California.
Uh-huh.
And so that was all part of the tour of people coming through, and of course it was free.
Yeah.
So we drew thousands of people. They stopped and looked at all these.
So you also
guys.
Have to get over any kind of public fear.
You can't have any.
In front
any,
of people.
Yeah. And you can't. It's so easy to get distracted with large crowds, you know, and people.
Yeah.
So you have to know how to block it all out.
Yeah.
I only heard one voice of all these thousands of people, and that was Cindy.
Oh.
I mean, it's funny how I was able to block that out because you have to totally concentrate on what you're doing. So she had little things that she'd say that I could relate to, and that helped me just immensely. But, yeah, mental preparation. And then, but, you know, we talked before the show started. Mental preparation isn't just for athletes. It's for everyday life, you know, your
so
work.
So what would she say? What were the words that were going through?
Would she say little things like, stay tight? A simple, means nothing to you or to the audience. But to me, that means that this was a clue of my technique to staying tight. Because you have to be real tight to lift those thousands of pounds. Otherwise,
what does that mean, stay tight?
Well, keep your muscles tight and your body tight.
So your muscles, like, bundled.
Yes, yes. Basically right, Willa. Yeah. In fact, in a lot of the videos that I have that I show young people what I used to do, you can always hear her voice. She blended it with everybody else, but to me, I could pick that out.
So while you were doing this, she was physically, and you could hear her saying this, not just pre-programming, but
mm-hmm.
during it.
Exactly.
Kind of like the little coach in your ear.
Oh, absolutely. She was my coach. So, I mean, we worked on this even when I was working out, you know, in the gym, which is she and I, you know.
And those were the cues to do it this way.
Exactly.
Kind of like race car drivers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they have their headset.
Exactly.
Hey, there's a blah, 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 you know, get ready.
Always talking to you, you know, to prepare you mentally. But, you know, I've worked with a lot of professional athletes, mainly professional football players, but the preparation for anything like that, even when you're playing like football, you know, these guys run on the field and there's thousands, maybe 100,000 spectators, and you ask them what they hear, they hear nothing. I mean, they know there's a crowd.
It's the roar of the crowd.
But it's all blocked out because they're concentrating in their job on the football field. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're worried about what's going on in those stands, you might as well not even play.
Go home.
Exactly, yeah.
So she would preset while you were training, that those were the cues
mm-hmm.
for those things. And so that would help you to know what to do next.
Exactly.
How to maneuver your body
mm-hmm.
and the next mental preparation for that. And so then when you're in training and she's doing these things, were there other psychological or deep things that she was working with you too?
All the time. Even the learning how to relax.
Okay.
Relaxation is a huge thing, too.
Yes,
when
it
you're
is.
Through with, because we had to compete in a lot of different events. So, like, you're through with the, in fact, there was 10 of them that we had to compete in at the World's Strongest Man.
Whew.
And you did these 10 events within the 4 days. So, I mean, a lot of, you know.
Yeah, you're putting yourself through a lot.
But you have to know how, and especially at night when you're all through for the day's work and you're going to bed at night. You have to learn how to be able to sleep, you know.
Yes.
And you're all wound up from that competition.
Yeah.
So that was all part of it, too, how to relax.
So how do you relax from something like that?
I relax by, you know, I say a lot of prayers. And even now when I'm not competing,
sure.
a lot of prayers at night. Of course, I do my prayers in the morning when I get up, too.
Yes, yes.
To kind of get me
to
going
set the
for
day.
The morning, to set the day, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that is a great way of relaxing and also starting my day, you know.
Yes.
Thanking God for the night's sleep or whatever.
Yeah, and prayer force is life force.
Exactly.
So when you're in that prayer mode, it lifts your energy, the vibrational frequency
exactly.
changes in a person when they're in prayer. So that makes sense to me that that would really help to set you for the day, but also to, you know, decompress after the day, give gratitude for what you were able to do, you know, and what's to come.
You know, a few months ago, well, I lost my mother. My mom passed away. And my mom was a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
She was 99 and a half years old, sharp as a whip. You know, she would have been a neat one to dinner because she was just, she had such history and she remembered so many, remembered everything so much. But anyway, mom passed away and so, but being able to get over, not, I mean, I'm still grieving with my mom, you know.
Yeah.
But you can't grieve forever. You have to get on with your life.
Sure.
But the mental preparation that has come back in my life, knowing how to deal with grieving and deal with getting on with my life, you know, has been a huge help for me too.
And in what way has that helped you? Have you been saying certain things to yourself?
Well, I think it all goes back to what Cindy taught me and what I was as an athlete. To block out as much of the pain as you can, you know, and to realize what a wonderful mom I had and what a wonderful job she did with.
Yeah.
Because my mom,
even though
my mother never was an athlete naturally, you know, but I mean, she was so supportive and was always there for me with her love and her.
She had to be the mom of an athlete.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. In fact, I did my mom's eulogy, which was very, very hard, but I wanted to do that for my mother. But when I was born, well, I broke the record at the Brooks Hospital for the largest baby.
How much did you weigh?
I was 11 3/4 pounds.
Woohoo!
And my mother was just a little bitty woman. She was a very small woman. And so when people came in to look at me, because I was like, this little woman had this huge...
Were you beyond your what would be considered the due date, do you think?
No, I was pretty much
right
on target.
At five? Okay.
It was just my father was...
I didn't know if you'd stayed in the incubator a little longer or something.
my dad was... I get my genetics from my father.
From your dad.
Because my dad was a big, strong...
Yeah.
He wasn't an athlete either.
Yeah.
But genetically, on my dad's side of the family, were big, strong people.
Big, strong, power muscle people.
Just naturally strong people. So anyway, I'm sure that's...
So yes, your poor mother.
So she would laugh. She said, well, you know, because I had a pretty good head of hair for a little tyke, you know.
Yeah.
But the nurses loved me because I was always a jolly, smiling, and whatever.
As he is today.
Oh, thank you. Maybe I'll... And by
personality has persisted.
Maybe I was born to be the world's strongest man at that time.
Absolutely.
I was a big kid.
There's a combination of things that are destiny in the sense of you would have a greater proclivity for something or a tendency towards something or a pattern of behavior towards something, but then you have free will, and you engaged your free will every day to make those decisions that you are going to, you know, work with your body and work with your mind and work with your soul, you know,
the prayer
being of, it seems like that was a big component of God's mental preparation. Correct?
Exactly, Willa. You hit it right on the head. Exactly.
Like prayer and getting yourself, your head on right spiritually was a big part of that preparation.
Absolutely. That's for sure.
You know, in my reading of things, there are athletes that have done incredible things, and I guess I'd call them kind of hammock athletes, the ones that they sit and they visualize themselves doing the activity over and over and over again perfectly. And then, you know, they put some of their practice time in, but a lot of it is geared toward the visualization.
Exactly.
And the affirmation that all will unfold in divine right timing, divine order, and that this is how it's to be. And then they go and they do it perfectly, just as they visualized in their mind. And I think that's an incredible thing.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to touch on that and I didn't. Yeah, that is so true. Because I was so trained. When I would get up to, like, I set the world record in the car lift, the 2,500 feet.
He really lifted a car, folks.
And that's still a world record. That was back in 19.
Nobody else has stripped you of that title?
No, not that. But what do you think? Because often I get asked that. What did you think about when I walked up to pick up that car?
Yes.
Well, you know, I could close my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I would visualize what I needed. Because it's all technique.
Yes,
know?
Yes.
If you don't know how to use it,
you're going
to
break your back.
You won't even get off the ground.
Yeah.
So I was there, and that came from my wife, you know, how to prepare for that mentally. But
yes.
I could close my eyes, and I could picture the movement before I ever did it.
Okay.
So when I got up to approach to do that lift, I knew exactly what I needed to do.
For your body, for the physics of it all.
Exactly. You know.
To work well.
So
I think that's a beautiful
that
thing.
That plays a major role. You know,
knowing how to work with physics. Kind of
exactly.
Like if people are at the billiards table and how to angle it all perfectly to get that ball into the pocket.
Exactly.
Only for you, it's about how to get your muscles all in alignment. And even those little micro muscles.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I tell you, to becoming this is we're going to give a little on fitness. But you know, to become strong, it isn't just all muscles either. It's you have tendons and
mm-hmm.
ligaments.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be very, very strong too. Things that you don't
strong
see.
Strong and flexible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Flexibility is huge. You know, otherwise you're going to get hurt.
Did you do any yoga or anything like that?
You know, I didn't. I come from such an old school. We didn't
right.
do. I really didn't do those things at that time. I wish I had.
I just wondered.
No, I'm still so.
You probably stretched and did those things.
Stretching was huge. Yes.
Yeah.
Stretching was very important, but those are things that you know people don't. They always talk about the muscle, the big biceps, and this and that. Well, you know,
because those are the impressive things.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at Popeye, the Sailor Man.
Yeah, but some of the strongest men that I've ever known didn't necessarily have the great big. I mean, they were big and strong. But the tendons and the ligaments are...
They were holding that thing with
exactly.
their tendons.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So how do you train those things? Well, you just have to know a lot about your body and train those certain things that you don't see.
Yes. And to some extent, that's how it is with mediumship. I think people have
a
natural proclivity for it, and then they can train it up to a higher degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes more easily to certain folks than
sure.
others, depending... so many factors, really.
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know, it just seems that it's with, like, any area of your life, you are good at certain things, and you can do what you can in other areas, but you might not be as successful.
Exactly.
And you knew that this was something that was like, hey, this is my niche. This comes relatively easily to me, and I can build on this, and I can put my efforts toward it. I mean, you could have made a choice every day. If you wanted to just go sit on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, no, this is what I'm going to do. And your body, probably, if you ever were to miss a workout, would be like, wait, what have you done?
Yeah.
Wait.
You know, that's funny. Well, I'm 74 now. I'm a true senior citizen. But I still get to the gym every day, you know.
Dedication.
Yeah. In fact, we have quite a few from Lilydale. They go to the gym that I go to up in Fredonia. But it's just like if I miss a day, which isn't very often, you know,
yes.
I just feel sluggish. I just feel lousy.
Well, because if you're used to a certain time of day or a certain
mm-hmm.
portion of your time is spent in that regard, mind, body, spirit, you align for that purpose.
That's right. Exactly.
You know, and that's part of it as well.
And you know, it's funny. It even affects your personality.
This is true.
I've had times where I just don't feel right, you know, and mentally, you know.
Yeah.
And my wife will say, "You better get down to that gym, you know, because the mood swings can be crazy at times."
Yeah, pound it out, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good point you're making, because some people need a physical outlet more than others.
Exactly.
And if they don't get it, it like builds up.
Oh.
Kind of like the Hulk, right?
Yes.
And it builds up, and the energy needs a place to be expended, right?
Exactly.
And so even for mediums. And healers, they have to have a certain measure of
mm-hmm.
physical activity that there's the right balance for them for the successful mind, body, spirit.
Absolutely.
With this too. But there are people that just need more activity than others. And that by having that vigorous movement or, you know, that really intense workout, they work through their yayas.
Yes. Exactly.
At least you know what to do. Like, there are many people who don't know what to do when they hit those
mm-hmm.
stress points in their life, and you know that you need to focus it and use it in that manner.
Boy, that's so true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just, that's something that I've loved. Of course, I've been working off and on for about 65 years.
Whew.
And those years, I haven't really missed too many workouts.
Right.
Because to me, it's almost like a religion.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's just such a huge part of my life.
Like, I am working out with God.
Yeah. And so it's a huge part of my life. And
yeah.
I'm so lucky that Pam, my wife now, is so supportive of that because
yeah.
that's just what I...
That's
I,
a big
I,
part of who
I
you
have
are.
To do. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and
a
the friends you
necessary
make there.
Thing.
And like I said, we have several people from Louisiana that go to work out. So you're
yes.
around all kinds of nice people, you
yes.
know.
Yes, so they're all cheering each other on.
Yeah, we're there
in
for...
the process.
I'm not turning anymore to become the world's strongest
no.
old senior citizen. Those days are over, but just
the
for help.
Strongest old man.
Yeah. I can't do anything. But I train now, so it's entirely different from fitness.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, this is about maintenance of things.
As soon as I get a little crazy, I get hurt, and I think, what did I do that for, you know?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I should have listened to myself.
You used to go
no.
to the gym. You, I'm sure you knew Barry Littlewich quite
yes.
well, didn't
oh,
you?
Yes,
well,
yes.
Well, Barry used to go to the gym that I go to. And, of course, with his great personality, he can make a joke out of anything,
yes.
you know. I just love Barry so much. We had such fun together. But yeah.
Well, I think he's part comedian.
I think he does. I think he exactly. I can remember when he was on Channel 2.
Yeah, wasn't
the
it was
weatherman.
Channel 2 he was
yeah,
on. He was a weatherman.
He still was cracking
Luckily.
Jokes as a weatherman.
Yeah.
It's just part of his life, I think.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's part of who a person can be.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, because I know time is booking along. It goes by so fast. One of the things I wanted to mention, there's a new movie out that's called Free Solo. Has anyone out there seen this movie? It's a documentary that follows the journey of Alex. It starts with an H. He is a free climber. And for those of you who don't know what free climbing is, that's when you go and you climb mountain cliffs without any ropes. Without any gear on you, many times without even shoes or gloves or anything. I can't even tell you how insane I think that is, but everybody has their thing that
incredible.
They do. And it is dangerous. Free climbers have died. People who have gear on have died. But he just recently completed a climb up the sheer mountain face, the vertical face of El Capitan, 900 meters.
Incredible.
And, that's in Yosemite. And they follow him with this. And he has a lot of mental preparation that he has to do.
Oh,
to do.
Sure.
Like, he's already climbed it a bazillion times with gear on because nobody free climbs this one, right? They'll free climb other things, but not this one kind of thing. So he's already done it with the gear on so many times, and he even has journals of, okay, this is how you do it, and how you were talking about your wife cueing you and telling you, okay, now tight, and now do all of these things. He actually is talking about how he's just hooking a little tiny pinky into this a ledge that's barely the width of a pencil. This is how incredible this is. And so he's written this all down. He's visualizing this. He's preparing for this. And he's got a girlfriend. And he lives in a van, right? But he's got a girlfriend who's starting to go, oh, no, what if you die? And so he's got the pressures of what other people may have expectations or things that could hold him back or distract him from the climb. Dun, dun, dun. So anyway, for him to get that level of mental preparation and to be able to just rattle it off, you need to do this, that, the other. And I highly suggest the movie. It's a cliffhanger. Not But it's worth viewing because he does something absolutely incredible. And he does it more quickly than you would ever imagine.
Wow.
And he was just speeding up, but he had everything at his disposal. He had prepared for this, and he was ready. Just him and the mountain.
It's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes,
though?
Yes.
Oh.
So very inspiring. If you want to, I thought it was very much on topic with this whole mental preparation thing that we're talking about.
I say this all the time when I do my public speaking. No, we all, and you mentioned it, right? We all have different gifts and different talents.
Yes.
And I mean, what that gentleman did is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine, even if I was physically fit like he is, to do those kind of things. But God gives us so many different talents in our lives, doesn't he, though?
And, you know, his muscles have trained up to do these things. And he and he did have injuries, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
He had to deal with, falls that had occurred that had jarred his body in certain portions. So not everything was working in good order when he did this climb.
Oh, yeah.
And, there were times where you competed.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, everything wasn't perfect.
Oh, no.
In your body, and you have to accommodate for the things that are going to possibly throw you off. And that's how it is with life, whether it's climbing up El Capitan or trying to be world's strongest man. When you hit things in your life, you may not be going into it with 100% health.
Exactly.
Mind, body, spirit. You might not be going into it with that, but you can still succeed.
Absolutely. You know, Will, that's a great thing. I'm glad you brought that because I wouldn't have thought of. But, and I don't care whether it's a gentleman climbing or football or basketball.
Yeah.
You have to be able to block out pain and to be as strong. Because I don't know if I ever was totally injury-free going into a competition.
Right.
But if you dwell on that injury, you might as well don't compete because you're not going
to. And you have to block out emotional pain.
You do, exactly.
And for soldiers to do it, they have to do it.
Exactly.
They're constantly compartmentalizing. But at some point, do you have to deal with the pain?
Well, when it's all
done with,
you do.
When someone's done with, you're like, ice pack. You know?
Because the pains are for a reason. You know, you got an injury, you know.
Yeah.
But for the time being, you have to know how to deal with that, you know.
You have to prioritize, is this more important to me?
Yeah, exactly.
And how am I going to get myself through this and forge my way ahead instead of
exactly.
give up?
Yeah, and that's all part of the mental preparation, too.
Yes, yeah.
Is knowing how to deal with that, you know.
And knowing that if you had to give up, how you would give up.
Exactly. You know, it's funny, in 1980, this is kind of an emotional story because one of my very dearest friends I've ever had in my life was a state trooper.
Okay.
His name was Tommy Buck, and he was involved in a drug bust. He was undercover.
Yeah.
He got pricked with a dirty hip, hyper dirty needle. And at that time, they didn't have drug awareness. So he never even reported it. Well, unfortunately, he had the cirrhosis of the liver. At that time, they didn't know how to help him. So at 35 years of age, he was dying, you know. Well, we became just emotionally like two brothers. I loved Tommy, and he loved me, and we just had this neat thing going in our lives. And he was my last World Strongest Man in 1980. I knew he only had a few months left to live. And we had talked a lot about how he was facing his death, you know.
Yeah.
He was only 35 years old. Never smoked, never drank. I was a weightlifter, took care of his body, you know.
Yeah.
And he asked me what I would do to help him out when he would pass on. He had two young children.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to dedicate the 1980 World's Strongest Man to Tom. When I got my trophy, I wanted because it was on TV.
Yeah.
I wanted to present him with the trophy to say, "I love you, Tommy. This is for me to you," you know.
Yeah.
And he knew that. That was my inspiration the whole year. Well, 1980, talk about injuries, I just tore myself. I tore the bicep off the bone.
Huh.
I tore the left hamstring. Those are two major injuries for strength.
How
could
you even compete then?
Oh, I kept blocking out.
No.
Blocking out, and eventually I just couldn't block it out anymore. But because I was so severely injured.
Yes.
And, of course, they had doctors at the Strongest Man. They kept saying, "Don, you got to get out of this." Because we're afraid of blood clots.
Well, yes,
I was just black and blue all over.
Oh.
So I did have to retire. I got a competition.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad because I wasn't able to give him the trophy.
Yeah.
But you know what he said to me when we got to the hotel room? And I'm crying, and of course Tommy's crying, because he knew how badly I wanted to do this for him.
Yeah.
He says, "You know, Don, your love that I have for you and you have for me is more important than any trophy.
Aww.
He said, I know what you want, what we had going for ourselves here. And he said, Don, just love me, you know. And just he and I alone, and we're both hugging each other and crying.
Yeah.
And Tommy's been gone for over 30 years. And, you know, I still get choked up when I think about that because
yeah.
I know I'll be with him one day. You know,
one day,
he's
yeah.
up there looking at us right now.
Yeah.
But I just loved him so much, and there's nothing I could do to help him with his health. And he tried so hard, you know, and he just was such a great, talk about a great friend.
Sometimes there is nothing you can do for another person except be a friend.
Exactly.
And that's how it is. And I'm glad you're bringing this up. It kind of makes me think about how there's a mental preparation for death sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes people will pass quickly, and people are, like, in shock. They didn't have time to mentally prepare. They didn't, you know, for such a thing. And other people, there's a lot of lead-up to someone's passing, like with your friend. It's like, you know, the end is coming, and how do you prepare for something? You were preparing for success
mm-hmm.
in your competitions, the possibility of not succeeding, but you were preparing for
mm-hmm.
success. That was part of the mental preparation you did. But sometimes we have to prepare for a different kind of transition that is a success in a weird way, but
you're
still,
right, well,
it's
exactly.
You, sometimes we have to mentally prepare for things that don't seem harmonious at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, like, really get ourselves ready to be strong yet flexible when it comes. And sometimes you get premonitions of something's going to happen with so-and-so, and it's an opportunity for you to be stronger in the moment. Not flinchy, but stronger in the moment for when it comes.
Exactly.
And so you've also not just had the success mental preparation, but you've also had the sadness
mm-hmm.
associated with mentally preparing for an eventuality.
Exactly. Yep.
So you can apply this in so many ways in your life.
You know, I was blessed with, if I mention my mom again real
sure.
quickly. Mom, when she got very, very sick at the end,
yeah.
she had kidney disease, and that's really what got my mom, you know. But I had 4 days with my mother before she died, and she went through, we had hospice come in, my sister did, because she lived with my sister in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So hospice helped us prepare step by step. But I had a chance to say goodbye to my mother.
Yeah.
And mom eventually got into a coma, and of course I kept rubbing her head and loving her and kissing my mom in her hospice bed. You know,
yeah.
she was in the living room of my sister's house. And it's funny, my mom was, as I said, she was pretty much out of it. She was dying, you know.
Yeah.
But the nurses kept saying, Don, she can hear you. She can't see me because her eyes were...
Right.
But when we were, my sister and I, we'd hug her and kiss her and tell we loved her. She'd pick her head up and she'd look at us, and tears would come out of her eyes. So the nurses kept saying, she knows every word you're telling her.
Yeah.
And we kept, Mom, we love you. We know we'll all be together again
her
someday.
Her soul knows.
Yep.
Yeah.
And as hard as that was, at least I had a chance to say goodbye, Mom. Thank
yeah.
you for all you've done for me. And, my dad, my dad died so quick of a heart attack
right.
that I never got to say goodbye to my father. But, Mom, we had that chance.
Yeah.
And that was such a, as hard as it was to see Mom lay there.
Yeah.
We had the chance to say, thanks, Mom.
And
you know?
Say thanks and to honor her in that
yeah.
way.
You know, it was funny, Willa, when the nurses kept saying, because they said, I had to go home that Monday. I was there for 5 days. I just had to get back.
Yeah.
And so I said my goodbye to his mom, and I said, we'll be together, Mom. And they whispered to me, they said, Don, as soon as you walk out, she's going to die. She was hanging on, they said, to make sure that I was okay and whatever.
Yeah.
And soon I got home to Lilydale, and I called my sister to let her know I got home safely. And I said, how's Mom doing? I knew how Mom was. But I said, you know,
yeah.
how's Mom? And my sister, her name is Miriam. She says, Mom's still, of course, still the same. And she said, wait a second, Don. So she walked over to the bed and said, Mom's gone. She died. As soon as you picked up the phone and called, she died. She just wanted to make sure you're home safely. And that's not corny. That's really, you know,
no.
I've been told by so many professional people, that's when you go through the process of dying so often, that's what...
Oh, it happens a lot.
That's what they do. They hang on to be sure that everything is, and then they go home.
Yeah, yeah.
They go home.
And sometimes there's a mental preparation that has to happen with a person who is dying, that they kind of have to mentally prepare. Like, that for your mom, in her case, it was, my kids are where they need to be.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing? Before?
Sure.
I don't want to. Tommy Buck, when he, my friend of mine, at the tail end of his life, he got into a coma himself, you know.
Yeah.
And we had him, his wife had him up in the middle of Fillmore in Buffalo. And he had a hard death, you know.
Yeah.
But he touched so many people. All of his buddies were in intensive care with him, and they taped his eyes shut because his eyeballs were rolling in his head.
Oh, dear.
So but anyway, and it was, he went through that for 2 days.
Yeah.
And so the last day, because your natural instinct is to say, come on, Tommy, he was such a strong guy. Hang in there,
we'll make it.
And so, and of course, I was talking to the nurses all the time, and I said, do you think Tommy hears? They said, he hears every word you're saying. They pinched his breast and his eyes just to show that he still had feeling.
Yeah.
And of course,
Jerry knows.
So I was the last one in the room because it was near the end of the day, and we all were emotionally just drained.
Yeah.
And I said to Tommy, I said, you know, Tommy, it's okay to die.
Yes.
I said, I give you permission to die. And, you know, before I walked out of the room, he died.
Yeah.
And I felt so guilty, Willa, because I thought, like, I didn't want him to die, you know. But he couldn't live that way.
But when you pray for people that you care about, and you're praying for them to be healed, and then you realize that the most healing thing for them would be to transition.
Exactly. If we really believe
that
we're going to be together, God is waiting for,
yeah,
whether it's your mom or dad, or whether it's the friend that you love so much, or any of us, you know. But he was hanging. They said that your friend was hanging on because you didn't give him permission to die yet, you know. So the natural feeling is
what's needed.
Say,
yeah.
We're gonna get you home, Tommy. We're gonna get you home. We knew he wasn't gonna go home.
Yeah.
But that's your natural instinct. But as soon as I said, Tommy, we'll be together.
Yeah.
You go ahead, go
yes,
home.
Yes, go and
he let loose and
it
he
helps.
Died.
It helps. It has helped so many people that I know. Yeah.
And you know, Willa, I'll never forget that because I thought, like,
of course not.
Actually, I was doing wrong by telling them to hang in there. You know, but being humans, we don't.
Yeah, we want to hang on to the things we love.
Exactly.
And sometimes we have to let them free.
Yeah, let them. Well, that's so true.
Goodness.
Those are two really emotional things that in my life that with Tommy and of course my mom and dad.
Those are biggies for sure.
Those are biggies.
And so you can see how mental preparation and just being there in a spiritual way in your life with whatever you're dealing with, be it death or grief or big sporting events or whatever it was happening in your life, you can get it's about getting your head and your soul in alignment with
exactly.
The highest and the best.
You know what I have found in my life, Willa, since I married Pam and I got, because I wasn't born to be a spiritualist. You know, my religious background is a Methodist.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a Methodist minister.
Went so fast.
Oh, and so anyway, that was, but when I met Pam and I met her up here in Lilydale,
yeah,
we fell in love and we married. Of course, now I'm converted to being a spiritualist. And I have found that to be so comforting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because if we really believe, and that's,
I know. That's a
exactly.
I know.
I get messages all the time from my dad, you know,
yes.
and from Tommy, you know.
And it's very special, and it helps you continue
exactly.
with all of this.
Exactly,
Well, wow. What a beautiful show, Dad.
I have enjoyed twice. I just felt so, I feel so close to you, Willa. You're a very dear friend of mine.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
And I know you feel the same about me. And we just have fun together, don't we?
We do have fun.
And the time does go by quick.
It goes by so fast. It's like, wow. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in today for our show with Don. And I cried a bunch. Yeah. And I want to make sure I mention that next week I have as my guest I gotta catch my breath here. Lynn Frigette, and we're gonna talk about the spiritual aspects of travel, and that's gonna be a super fun show.
Oh, Lynn's great.
And she is great.
Oh, I love
her. Here in Lilydale. And tonight is my class at Jamestown Community College. I teach spiritual development classes there. Tonight will be understanding spiritual energy. Next week, May 8th, I'll be teaching messages from spirit. So if you want to get registered for any of those, feel free to call the JCC office. I have information about that on my website, willowwhite.com, and also on my Facebook page, which is Willa White Medium. So tune in next week here on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, for the next show with Lynn Frigette. Thank you so much for being
thank
on the
you,
show today.
Well, I love You've you so worried. Much. You're
I love you too.
You're a very dear friend.
Aw,
thank you.
All right, everyone, have a wonderful, beautiful day.
Take care
day.
Now. We'll see ya.
Happy May Day.
Is today May 1st?